is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message, already in progress, by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Eat and rejoice, because I know God's hand is on my life. And with that being said, I want to suggest to you that where you are may be your situation, but tell your neighbor it's not your destination. Now, you can't say that unless you believe it. Amen. Amen. See, some folk have resolved to believe that where they are right now is the final place that they will end up, but the believer ought to have enough sense and enough hope to know that my situation is not my destination. Where are my folk who know you're going a little higher? Amen. Amen. I'm going higher in God. Even though your possibilities have perished, your dreams have been dismantled, your hopes have been handcuffed, even though your advance appears to have been aborted, that may be your situation, but it is not your destination. Life can deal us a bad hand that leaves us feeling helpless, hopeless, and on the verge of giving up and tempted to view our current situation as our final destination. As a matter of fact, I'm probably talking to some people who know what it means to struggle with days dripping with disappointments, nights nuanced with pain, and mired in moments of misery. You know what it is to feel that things will never change. It seems like things will never improve, never get better. You know what it is to be in a circumstance that appears critical, relationships that seem beyond remedy, a situation that seems out of control. Somebody here knows what it is to have lost a job with no replacement on the horizon. You have been the recipient of a dreadful diagnosis, a participant in a relationship shattered beyond reconciliation. I'm preaching to somebody right now in this worship experience who knows what it feels like to be in a context that looks dead. And if by chance I'm preaching to you this morning, here's my word for you today. Your situation is not your destination, and here's the reason why. It's because the hand of God is still on your life. Don't get all bent out of shape because of what's going wrong in your life this week. Amen. Can I tell you something? This is just a day in your week. This is really just a week in your month. This is just a month in your year. Don't sum up your whole life based upon what's happening this week. Is there anybody here who can look back over their life and remember times that they felt like giving up and giving in, but you held on a little while longer? And somebody said, he may not come when you want him, but where are my folk who can testify that he will show up on time? Thank you, God, that your hand is on my life. Amen. And y'all, that really is the proclamation of the prophet in this pericope that I'm preaching today. Ezekiel begins chapter 37 by saying, the hands of the Lord are upon me. How do you know it, Ezekiel? How do you know it? Here's how. The text says that the hand of the Lord was upon me and he brought me out. Y'all, we can audaciously announce that the hand of the Lord is on us whenever we can look back over our lives and say that he brought us out. Do I have a witness today? We can be sure that his hand is on us. He has brought me out. That speaks to the fact that God is a deliverer. Anybody know him to be a deliverer? He brings us out. He brings us over. He brings us through. And periodically, we ought to pause in the perimeter of our pilgrimage and remember just how God has brought us out. Because God doesn't just pacify our pain. Did you hear what I said? I said God doesn't just pacify our pain. You know, he could, amen, in the midst of our struggle, in the midst of our pain, God is able, he could just soothe our pain. He's able, he has the power, amen, to do that, but I'm so glad he doesn't just pacify my pain, he determines rather he's going to bring me out of that situation. I wish I had two or three folk who, in spite of how it looks, you've made up in your mind that by faith, I'm coming out of this thing. I'm coming through this thing. This is not my final destination. And we need to hear this because even though we are counted among those who are called the faithful, we are not immune to pain. We are not inoculated from difficulty. The reason why we don't resign, the reason why we don't quit, the reason why we don't give up, the reason why we don't surrender or lose our joy or abdicate our authority is because we know, we affirm, and we believe that God's hand is on our lives. And we know it because we can look back. We can look around and see what God has brought us from. We can testify that, yes, the valleys were deep, the road was rough, and the going was tough, and yes, the hills were hard to climb. We could have lost our mind, but God brought us out. We could have gone stone crazy, but God brought us out. We could have fallen completely apart, but God brought us out. God held us together, even when everything else around us was falling apart. And I don't know what your testimony is, but I've been in a lot of situations, if I can be just honest with you today, I don't know where I would be if it hadn't been for the Lord who was on my side. I don't know who I'm talking to, but somebody sitting next to you right now is trying to hold in their shout because they are a witness that trouble came their way, but they came through trouble. They had to endure headache and heartache, amen, and haters. They had to sidestep tragedy. And if they could testify right now, they would testify that they made it because God had his hands on them and God brought them out. Encourage somebody, amen, to never forget the struggles that they've come through. That no matter how high you rise, remember that you took the stairs and not the escalator. Oh my, thank you, Jesus. I can remember one time I was vacationing in the Dominican Republic, and they have there in Santo Domingo, they have these underground caves. And in these underground caves, they have underground lakes. As a matter of fact, some of Jurassic Park was filmed in these underground caves, and they had a tour. And on this tour, the tour guide would lead you down to these lakes. And I was so excited about seeing these underground caves and seeing these underground lakes that I was with the group, and we were going down, and we were going down, and we were going down, and we went down some more, and we went down a little more, went down some more, kept going down and down and down. And I was so excited about seeing the lakes that I forgot we got to come back up. And y'all, I got down there to those lakes, and I was just in awe of how beautiful it was down there. But oh my, when it was time to come back up, I looked at the tour guide and said, ain't there an elevator or an escalator somewhere? And is there anybody in here today who, if you could testify right now, you can say that you made it, amen, amen, not on an escalator, you made it not on an elevator. Come on, where are my folk who had to go through some stuff? Where are my folk who had to struggle? You had to fight your way back. The devil thought he had you. He thought he had you out of the race, but you said, I'm coming up out of this. If I have to come up by myself, give him praise in this place. Thank you, God. Don't ever forget that you had to punch through poverty, that you had to punch through some prejudice, that you had to deal with bills and bias, demons and depression. You had to overcome agony, anguish, and struggle, but don't ever forget that you've come this far by faith. leaning on the Lord. Somebody ought to give God your first praise of the day, because what you came through should have finished you off. You shouldn't even be in here right now. You should be dead and sleeping in your grave. You should have let go. Your feet should have slipped. You should have lost your mind. But the Lord had his hands on you, and you know it because he brought you out. So the prophet testifies that he knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that God had his hands on him, because number one, God brought him out. But not only did God bring him out, secondly, he testifies that God set him down. You see, God bringing us out is deliverance, but God sitting us down is discipline. Now, this is where I expected it to get quiet, because we don't mind shouting over God's deliverance, but we get quiet when we got to talk about discipline. The text says that he set me down. He put me down right where he wanted me. It's like a parent telling a child to sit down and don't you move until I tell you to. You Bible readers will remember in the 23rd number of Psalms how David says he makes me to lie down in green pastures. It's about discipline. And that's where Israel is in the text. God put them there. He put them where he wanted them. They neglected to live as God instructed them, and their willful neglect brought with it consequences. The Bible says God permitted their enemies to overturn their territory and their temple, and subsequently their best and their brightest were taken off into captivity, and all that they celebrated, enjoyed, was discarded and destroyed like trash. Now hear me well, because you need to be reminded that sin brings with it consequences. Yeah, did y'all know that? Amen. Sin brings with, and can I tell you something about consequences? They don't happen in the afterlife. They happen in this life. When we do what we want to do as opposed to what we should do, there will always be repercussions, because sin will take you farther than you wanted to go. It will cost you more than you wanted to pay, and it will keep you longer than you intended to stay. There are consequences to sin. Those who abuse themselves or neglect their families pay a higher premium and a significant price before they die. See, this ain't popular preaching, because we don't like to admit that just maybe some of the stuff we're going through and having to deal with is consequences, amen, to our own behavior, consequences to our own act. Yeah, come on, let's be real. We don't like to admit, amen, that some of our sufferings are self-inflicted. We don't like to admit, amen, that if I had listened to God when he was speaking instead of doing my own thing, my own way, and coming out when he told me to come out, amen, I wouldn't have to deal with this pain and this pressure. Nudge your neighbor and tell him there are consequences. I said there are consequences. Too much fun weakens the body and cripples the mind. Too much alcohol hardens your liver. The abuse of drugs debilitates the body and destroys the community. The people of Israel were disgruntled, disjointed, and disturbed as a nation. They had lost all hope because their condition had been critical for some time. You Bible readers will remember that God had prescribed a certain amount of time that they were going to be held captive, that they were going to have to suffer. And y'all know we all have to suffer, but suffering takes on a different quality when you've got to endure it for a long time. It's one thing to have trouble, but it's another thing to have trouble for a long time. It's one thing to be broke, but it's something else to be broke, what? For a long time. It's one thing to be oppressed, but it's another thing to be oppressed for a long time. It's one thing to be unemployed, but it's another thing to be unemployed, what? For a long time. It's one thing to have to struggle, but it's something else when you have to struggle for a long time. Their pain was extenuating because their pain was extensive. Sometimes you can endure the pain, amen, amen, at least for a little while. But like so many people in our world who go to work every day but can't earn a livable wage to support their family, the children of Israel loomed in despair because they had to suffer for a long time. And yet God, I said, and yet God interrupts their march to hopelessness and speaks to the prophet and through the prophet with a word about their future. Nudge your neighbor and tell your neighbor, I believe God has a word about your future. Here it is, here it is. God was determined to deliver them, and so God had to discipline them, and God called one of them to speak to all of them. He didn't call a committee. He didn't call a board. He called one of them, Brother Ezekiel, to speak to all of them. And you Bible readers know that Ezekiel was a strange prophet called to enter into exile with a strange word. God charged him and instructed him to instruct them that their captivity and their bondage was not accidental, it was not incidental, it was not coincidental, it was providential. Now here's your shout. Nothing in your life is accidental. I said nothing in your life is coincidental or incidental. It's all providential. That is, if you're a child of God, God has it in his plan. It's all providential. Ezekiel was to remind them that things were like they were because they were reaping the harvest of their own choices, and yet God, in his love, in his grace, and in his mercy, wanted them to understand that even though they felt abandoned, even though they felt assaulted, even though they felt alone, even though they saw no way out, no way over, no way through, God wanted Ezekiel to remind them that he still had his hands on them. Even in their captivity, even in their trouble, even as they suffered the consequences of their own sin, God says, I still got my hands on them. That ought to be encouraging to somebody, because you've had to admit, as we've talked about discipline, that some of the stuff you're dealing with is consequence for stuff you did. But you ought to be encouraged right through here by knowing that even though God disciplines you, you are his child, and yet even in your suffering, he still got his hand on you. Is there anybody here who's encouraged to know that, yeah, I know I'm reaping the harvest of my own misdeeds, I'm reaping the harvest of my own mess, amen, but thank you, Pastor Garner, for reminding me that God still has his hands on my life. The word for you today is that God wants to develop you, and therefore he has to discipline you. And yet the final verdict in our lives is not just a word of punishment, but God told me to give you a word of possibility. God wants you to know that when he decides to bring you out and when he places you where you need to be, it's not a statement of reprimand, it's a statement of restoration. God promised to restore them and to redeem them. That's God's promise to you and me. God told me to tell you, I have my hands on you, and you know it because I brought you out, I brought you over, I brought you through. Even though you've made mistakes, even though you've made miscalculations, even though you've made some missteps, even though you've done what you should not have done, lived how you should not have lived, I want you to know through God's word, God told me to tell you that he still loves you. He's not going to give up on you. He's still committed to you. He will come and see about you because he is not finished with you yet. Somebody ought to praise God and say, I knew that God wasn't finished with me. As a matter of fact, you ought to leave here today with your head held high, saying, I knew that God wasn't finished with me. How do I know? Because the Lord still has his hand on me. He brought me out. That's deliverance. He set me down. That's discipline. The Lord has his hand on me. But then there's one other thing, and I'm done. Ezekiel says, he led me around, back and forth among the bones. Amen. Notice that God led him into a dead, lifeless situation. Now, this might mess up somebody's theology because we tend to think erroneously that when God is leading us, that he only leads us into places that are pleasant, places that are agreeable, places where there's plenty, places where everybody will like us. Amen. We erroneously believe that God only leads us into blessed places. Amen. But I've come by to tell you that if you've really been anointed by God, that sometimes God will lead you into a mess just to show you how he can set you up for a miracle. Do I have any witnesses here today? God led Ezekiel into a dead, lifeless, and chaotic situation. God led him into a situation that tested the limits of his faith. And somebody up in here knows what I'm talking about. As a matter of fact, you can hardly sit still in your seat because you found yourself in a situation in which you thought there is no way this is ever going to work. There is no way I'm ever going to get out of this debt. There's no way I will ever be happy. No way I will ever graduate. No way I'll ever get married. No way I will ever lose weight. No way I can ever get over this addiction or this habit. But God told me to tell you that sometimes when you think you are lost, that is exactly when you're being led. And that ought to be a shouting point, because tell your neighbor that wherever God guides, God provides. I said wherever God guides, God provides. Is there anybody here in a place you didn't want to be, in a situation you didn't expect, but yet in the midst of that situation, God has still been feeding you. God has still been giving you water to drink. God has still been opening doors and making ways out of no ways. Give him praise in this place. For never had a problem I wouldn't know that he could solve. If I never had a test, I would never have had a testimony. If I'd never gone through a storm, I wouldn't know how to appreciate shelter over my head. If I'd never been in a mess, I wouldn't have known what a miracle looks like. David says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The steps of a good man, the steps of a good woman are ordered by the Lord. But can I tell you, he doesn't stop there, because he says, and that's a connective conjunction, meaning not an interruption, but a continuation. He says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. My brothers and sisters, you need to understand that God orders our steps. God permits our stumbles. God controls our stops. Because when we fall into the hands of God. And God wants to lead us in such a way that when we come out of the problem, when we come out of the situation, when we come through the deliverance, we won't come out talking about how smart we were. We won't come out talking about how well connected we were. But on the other side of our trouble, we will have to come out saying, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I never would have made it. We'll come out saying that through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus, and I've learned to trust in God. Is there anybody here, as you look back over your life, you've got to testify that God's hand was on your life? Ain't he all right? Won't he give you joy in the place of sorrow?
Won't it be your hope for tomorrow? If you know him, give him praise on your pilgrimage. You ought to be able to tell him thank you. Tell him thank you. Tell him thank you. He's all right. Thank God for his hand on our lives. Everybody standing. Come on, as you stand, give God some praise if you know that his hand is on your life. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, my sister, he will give you new life. Thank you, God. You're here today, my brother, my sister, without Christ in your life. You need him, and you need him now. Understand that he wants to deliver you. Understand that if he's going to deliver you, sometimes he's got to discipline you. But ultimately, he wants to direct you in a way that you'll be victorious. If you're here today, my brother, my sister, Paul said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, he shed his precious blood. The Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. If you can believe that in your heart, speak it with your mouth, you can be saved today if you're here. Come on. Secondly, there may be a backslider and you got off track and you want to be in a right relationship with God. All you've got to do is come and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I messed up. And I'm here to tell you, he'll give you another chance. And then last but not least, you may be new to this area. You know God. He's real in your life. You're just looking for a church where you can worship God in spirit and in truth. In these three areas, as we sing and as we pray, whoever you are, step out on his word. Come on.
We offer Christ to you.
Oh, my.
Oh, my brother.
We offer.
We offer Christ to you. Oh, my sister.
He will give you brand new life.
He will give you brand new life. New life abundantly. So come.
Jesus, Jesus.
Come on.
Come on, come on. One more time, we're going to sing it. If you're here, we're waiting on you. Come on, come on. Step out on his word. We offer.
We offer Christ to you, oh, my brother. We offer Christ to you, oh, my sister. He will give you brand new life. Life abundant.